Military Supply.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
As we continue with the second hour of the Paracast, our guest Jerome Clark, I'm Gene Steinberg, and we're exploring the UFO field about attitudes. Now, looking at the prevailing opinions in the UFO field, we had the belief that E.T. was coming, that E.T. was here, and then kind of in the 60s and 70s, maybe part of the counterculture, we started looking into other possibilities such as UFOs from other dimensions, UFOs from the inner Earth, all sorts of different kinds of explanations. So where is that gone? Is it still here?
Well, I think the at least for some of the UFO phenomena, the ETH is probably in better shape than it's ever been, and that's because of the escalating discovery of extrasolar planets, many of them Earth-likes, and some of them within reasonably close distance of the Earth, for example, about 36 million light years in a recent discovery. I think that if the galaxy is indeed densely populated, the presence of extraterrestrial visitors is almost to be expected. I think that the ETH will be validated, but that's not the entire UFO question, and the rest of it is probably a lot more difficult. But I do think that as was suspected by a few in 1947, we may indeed be seeing evidence of an ET presence. I think that's a perfectly reasonable inference, but it doesn't explain, you know, the stuff that came along in the latter 1960s, the highly strange stuff that seemed to have, you know, paranormal aspects and was just surreal and weird. That sort of stuff doesn't fit so well into the ETH. And that has to be dealt with, I think, perhaps as a separate question.
Just a little kind of an update here. I recently spoke with a couple of folks that have had conversations recently with Jacques Vallée. And both, unbeknownst to one another, made the comment that Vallée is being slowly drawn back towards the center there in relation to the regards to the ETH. So perhaps some of those early out-of-the-box theorists like Vallée now with the evidence of these Goldilocks planets, as Jerry just brought up, maybe that and a combination of other elements is starting to make people sort of drift back in that direction who have been staunchly anti-ETH for many years in the case of L.A.
That's very interesting you said. I hadn't heard that. In fact, when I reviewed Vallée's last book, which he wrote with Chris Auerbach, I criticized Vallée for not having had a fresh idea in decades, because I thought I look back from what I was thinking in 1969 when Vallée's Passport to Magonia, which was a hugely influential book, came out. You know, my ideas have evolved fairly radically over time. But I'm glad to hear that, and I hope that's true. You know, I don't really know Jacques that well. I do know that he's always knocking me in his books. But I basically like the guy, and I think that he's basically been a positive influence.
He's knocked you in his books? How so?
How's he knocking me? Have you read his latest book?
Well, okay, I think we need to explain to our listeners exactly what's going on. It's not, have you read the book, because they haven't read the book.
Okay, well, he has criticized me, and he often criticizes me in his books for saying the ETH has to be considered the extraterrestrial hypothesis. And he, in his books, maintains that that is a closed question, that only foolish people like Jerome Clark would argue that the ETH still deserves to be considered. And if it is true that Jacques Vallée is reconsidering his thought, I think that speaks well of him, that all of us should, you know, reexamine our opinions and our beliefs and see how well they measure up. And I think that any mature, sensible adult does that every day. I like Jacques, and I think that he's been a positive influence. But if he's rethinking, that's good.
Well, I must say, any alien species that would bother to waste any time, effort, resources, and energy coming to this primitive, violent, misogynist planet. I just got to wonder about the motivations.
Well, intellectual curiosity. I mean, we anthropologists go to remote places to study, tribal societies. And I think that there are all kinds of reasons to come here, and I'm sure they're going elsewhere too. It's just, they're curious. They want to know, how is life evolving in the universe? What happens when it reaches the point that it has found ways, for example, to destroy itself? We could destroy ourselves with nuclear weapons or environmental devastation. I mean, we're at a real crossroads. That might be interesting to extraterrestrial visitors.
Maybe there's like some sort of galactic Las Vegas, and they're placing odds on how soon it'll be before we totally annihilate ourselves with either pollution, nuclear weapons, some sort of biological agent that gets out of hand that's ill-advisedly used or something. Maybe there's like a bookie out there that's giving tips for people to update their bets and put new money down as the odds go up that we're not going to survive much longer.
Like the character in one of the Star Trek series, Quark, who was a Ferengi, that was the race he came from, and he was, shall we say, the wheeler-dealer of the crew there. Nobody else cared about money, but he did.
Right.
Well, I think that that we have about a century to clean up our act, or I don't think we're going to survive. I mean, I don't think that, I'm not a paranoid, I'm not an alarmist, but I think that, we have a century to clean up our act at most. We're in real trouble. I mean, global warming alone is going to have an enormous impact, and a broader one than most people understand, because we'll have economic and political and all kinds of implications which will be destructive. And if extraterrestrials are watching, I think that they may want to see whether we're going to survive this. If we survive the next 100 years, we probably will survive. If we don't, we won't. So, there are all kinds of interesting things that they could be studying about us.
So where do you think the odds are right now? What are the odds? If you had to make book on this, what would the odds be?
I am not optimistic. My friend Michael Swords is a retired professor of environmental science at Western Michigan University. And Mike was telling me 20 years ago that global warming was coming a lot faster, and it was going to be a lot worse than you were reading in the newspaper. And we're seeing that playing out, that in fact it is coming much faster, and its consequences are even worse than was thought at 20 years ago. And, we don't even have the political will to deal with global warming. And even have one political party that insists it doesn't exist. I mean, how can you deal with that if you won't even acknowledge that it's a problem?
Well, when the sea levels start to rise and land values in Bangladesh and Florida start to plummet, then I think that'll be a wake-up call for a lot of people.
And whole islands disappear under the water.
Right.
And the populations of those islands head off to New Zealand and other settled, stable, prosperous countries. How are they going to deal with the sudden influx of many thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of poor people living on Pacific or Atlantic islands? This is going to precipitate in itself a huge crisis. It's going to cause drought in Africa, which is already happening, massive starvation, conflict over food and water.
Water, especially.
It could get really bad.
Yeah.
And we're entering an incredibly perilous time. And as a father, I have three children. I worry about what kind of world they're going to be living in.
Let me ask you a fast question here, which may be just as important, and that is, with regard to the presence of UFOs, is there a possibility they're aware, which is, of course, what some people believe, of the things we can do to mess ourselves up And they're either here, as maybe was suggested before, to take bets or to stop us. We have Jerome Clark. This is Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
With economic and job-based stress now the leading cause of illness, is your body ready for the hard times ahead? This is Bill Hyde with a special report on staying healthy in hard times. According to a new article in the London Telegraph, job stress associated with the economic downturn has now replaced cancer, stroke, heart attack, and back problems as the number one reason people miss work. In fact, it's now being called the Black Death of our time. This means taking care of your body could be the single most important thing you do, especially in these hard economic times. Recently, we've created a video which you can watch online for free detailing how to make sure your body is ready for the dangerous times we live in. You can find the video at longtermgreen.com. That's longtermgreen.com. Get your body ready for the hard times ahead by watching the free video at longtermgreen.com. The video is available at longtermgreen.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
With Jerome Clark, with Gene and Chris in the Paracast, the question on the table, do you think if E.T. is here, that E.T. knows that we're at the crossroads. We have to get our acts together or there will be no civilization. Knowing that, does E.T. care about doing something about it, just watching disinterestedly or putting a stop to it?
Well, of course, we have no idea. You know, we can only speculate, and we can be speculating with very little evidence. As far as I can tell, you know, just assuming for the sake of discussion that we're dealing with extraterrestrial visitors, I don't know that for certain, but let's speculate here. We don't see anything in their behavior that indicates that they have an emotional connection with us and are concerned about our fate. They don't seem to be hostile. They could take us over probably very easily. If they wanted to, they don't seem to care to do that. They just seem to be watching us. And their motives remain inscrutable.
So Grandfather Martin of the Hopi said, kind of volunteered one day when I was speaking with him about Hopi prophecy, he whipped out this Aztec codices, which was quite lengthy. It's about 6 feet long, you know, reproduced on paper. And at the very end where he says we are at the end of the fourth world here, their sergeant in arms is banging humanity on the head from behind with a club. And right above the little potential conflict at the very end of this whole series of glyphs is this little Mexican sombrero hanging in the air. And I asked him, I said, Grandfather, what is that? And he goes, oh, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, those silver ships that fly around. And I said, well, what do the Hopi say about them? Well, what can you tell me about them? Why are they here? And he says, oh, they're just watching. And I said, well, what are they watching? He goes, they're just watching. That's all he would say.
Yeah.
You know, in typical Native American fashion, you know, I guess words speak volumes. But I've always kind of had a sense that they're almost, I don't know, you know, I'm just kind of riffing here a little bit, but I would think that the biodiversity on this planet would be the attraction to anything from out there, that humans actually are a virus. Like Agent Smith in The Matrix says, humans are a virus, you know. We're the ones that are really damaging the ecosystem, and, you know, I don't know how many species are, I forget the figure, how many species go extinct every day, but In large part, that's due to humans and cattle, for that matter. Cattle are very detrimental to the planet. So perhaps it's the ecosystem, it's the wonderful biodiversity here on Earth that is the main attraction, and we're kind of like in the way.
Yes, scientists have said that we're living at the end of nature. They've also said that nature always gets the last word. And if we're a virus, and sometimes it certainly looks that way, you know, the body cleans itself of the virus. And if we're going to destroy ourselves because of our carelessness with the natural world, we are going to pay for that. And then we will disappear, and then nature will repair itself. And maybe the whole cycle will repeat itself. Some kind of human-like form will evolve again many, many millions of years down the line. But it's really terrifying. And I, up until a few years ago, I was just basically philosophically an optimist. But you look around and there are plenty of things to be frightened of and worried about, alarmed about. And we're just living in a world that is sorely ailing.
Yeah, tenuous times.
Well, it almost starts to make you think that there's an end game here. Maybe that's why people believe in a 2012, that it's all going to come to an end or come to a head in 2012. Do you think that's part of it? And do you think the UFO presence, this gets to be mystical again, has anything to do with that?
Well, I don't know, of course. I mean, how could you say? You know, I'm skeptical of, you know, mystical thinking and prophecy and those sorts of things. They don't really seem to have worked out very well in the course of history. But I do think that UFOs are here. They have some purpose, which we may not know and we can only speculate about. But, and I also think that the human race is in a perilous state. Now, whether all those things are related, who knows?
Well, we all need Michael Rennie to come down in his spaceship, say, I am Klaatu. Take me to your leader or Gort's going to kill everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
I guess we kind of need that. Chris, we've gotten a number of questions from our audience about Jerry Clark's appearance this week. Can you dig out a few? Let's get started on those.
Okay. I'm actually enjoying this session because I'm able to walk around and do some things. I'm not stuck at my desk on the Skype scenario, but I do have a question from the forum that I kind of remember from reading them, and that is the encyclopedia. Is there, you know, it's been almost 10 years since it was published, I think the last edition, and are there any plans to abridge it or bring it up to date, or do you have any plans in that regard for a new edition of it?
Well, that would be, of course, entirely up to the publisher, and I really don't think it's going to happen. One concern is that the publisher is, like virtually all other reference publishers, has been reduced to a shadow of itself by the Internet. The Internet has devastated the reference book industry.
Amazon.
My wife worked in the reference book industry. In fact, she was my editor on the UFO Encyclopedia, and that's how we met. But she worked for 26 years in the industry, and she and a whole bunch of people got downsized. So there really isn't a market for reference books anymore. People just go to Wikipedia. And so, no, I don't think there will. My only hope is that somebody will publish an unabridged paperback, affordable version of the second edition of the encyclopedia.
That would be great.
It would be available to people. And that's the most that I hope for. There was
and download, like a Kindle or an e-version.
Something like that. But that's all I can say about that.
Well, the other thing, of course, we can do nowadays, Jerry, is you can do print on demand. Of course, you have the rights to do it, which, of course, is another question entirely. But you can do print on demand where some of these companies will actually fulfill your orders for you. You take the orders in, and they will print whatever copies they need and mail them to the recipient. You get your commission every month.
Yeah, that would be up to the publisher, of course. The publisher owns a copyright, so I don't have any say in that.
Well, I think the standard contract is that they own the rights to it until 2 years after it's out of print, and then it reverts back to you. I checked your fine print on that.
Yeah, it's still in print.
Oh, well, that's good. That's very good. Well, that question
actually sometimes hear from people who have ordered a copy, which is always amazing to me. It was published in 1998.
So they basically have a little warehouse or a garage, and they stuck a few copies in there. And they're still available. We have Jerome Clark, who's visiting the garage now looking for copies of the book. With Gene and Chris, you're in
Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
We're envisioning now Jerry Clark going into his garage, several boxes of books. That's what I used to do, you know. When I would write all those computer books, I wrote about 28 or 30 computer books. And because of the nature of software and operating systems and hardware, they were out of date in like 9 months. If you were lucky, if you wrote the book fast enough. And so I'd get bunches of copies, and it reached a point where the publisher had none. They just dumped them in the outlet bins. And I had maybe 20 or 50 copies, and I'd sell them off, you know, have a little side business going. Let's go to another question.
Well, that first question was from Ufology, who's a fairly recent addition to the Paracast Forum family. This question is from Digital Trickster, who is a new Paracast Forum poster. And I must say, Digital Trickster, your avatar is truly frightening.
Imagine. By the way, he chose the name Digital Trickster. Let me just tell you the rest of the story here because of you.
Yeah, oh boy. I'm not sure if that's a good thing. Looking at this avatar, I'll tell you, if you cross a leprechaun with a rabid alien having a bad day, that's what his little avatar image looks like. It's pretty frightening. But his question, Gene, is for Jerry, is what is your opinion on the Phoenix Lights incident? Is question one, and that's something I'm not sure if we've discussed. I think it may have been mentioned in a prior appearance here, but have you looked into that case, and have you come to any conclusions in your own mind about what it could possibly have been? Obviously, it's a very complex, you know, probably incident with two distinct aspects to it, but what is your thinking on that?
Well, I haven't looked into it, and my opinion is just purely an amateur's opinion. You know, Leslie Kane, in a very good book on UFOs, has a chapter on it, and it seems to me she handles it pretty well, that there was an aspect that was genuinely puzzling and probably, you know, a sighting of UFOs, and there was another part. I think that I don't really have a strong opinion. I think my opinion is Leslie Kane's opinion. Leslie Kane, in her very good book, has a chapter on it. And I think the consensus is that some of the sightings, I believe the ones earlier in the evening were of UFOs, and the other ones may not have been. But I really, you know, I haven't really looked into that. You know, my interest when I was writing the encyclopedia was really on, you know, cases from a long ago, like one that sort of related to that was the Lubbock Lights from Texas in 1951, which was somewhat comparable to the Phoenix Lights. In other words, you know, formations of lights in the night sky, photographs taken, widely seen, and, you know, just ensuing complicated controversy about what caused these sightings. And when I wrote about the Lubbock Lights, and there's quite a long entry in my encyclopedia about them, I felt sort of like a detective going, sorting through all the clues, all the evidence, and going back and forth, and finally deciding, yes, these were indeed UFOs. But I know more about the Lubbock Lights than I know about the Phoenix Lights, I'm afraid.
For listeners who basically tuned in late to the UFO thing, I like to always ask our guests when they refer to a sighting, and this is one that, of course, we've all read about very often. The Lubbock Lights, in a couple of minutes or less, explain the case to people.
Well, this occurred in the summer of 1951, and it basically involved people began seeing in the evening these huge light formations flying silently over the city of Lubbock. They were seen by a lot of people, including scientists were among the sighters, and a series of very famous photographs were taken by Carl Hart Jr., who at the time was a college student in Lubbock, and was re-interviewed many years later by Kevin Randall and others. He stuck by the story. He was an upright man. And Project Grudge hadn't become Blue Book yet. Project Grudge sent investigators, and they went all around interviewing people and collecting the testimony. And the conclusion was that this was indeed unexplained, that these really genuinely are mysterious. Well, in later years, as Blue Book was trying to clear up everything and explain everything in sight, the story became that they had seen lights reflecting off moths, which I don't think it persuaded anybody. But it's a great case.
And really good photographs, too. One of the better photograph cases. And as you mentioned, quite a number of witnesses came forward to that event. It was quite widely seen.
The Lubbock Lights were the photograph that Carl Hart Jr. took is actually on the cover of Ed Ruppelt's book, which was the first UFO book that I read. And he has a chapter on the Lubbock Lights in his book and the investigation the Air Force did of them.
Well, Mr. Digital Trickster has a couple of other questions. The second one is, who do you consider to be the best researchers in the field today? Besides yourself.
Oh, boy.
That's a tough one.
Well, I mean, there are some very good people. You know, my organizational affiliation is with the Center for UFO Studies in Chicago, and I have enormous regard for my colleagues in that field, including Mark Rodiger, who's the scientific director of the organization, Eddie Bullard, who is the folklorist, who wrote a very good book, which the University Press of Kansas published last year about UFOs and folklore, and the late Stuart Appel, who was a board member, a psychologist who studied the abduction phenomenon and wrote about it for the academic press, wrote some of the best writing I've ever seen on the subject. You know, there's Chris Rutkowski up in Manitoba, who's a very good, hardworking researcher. And there's Don Ledger in Nova Scotia. Robert Powell down in Texas. I mean, there's some really good people.
You know, I want to ask you a question when you raise that Center for UFO Studies. I don't hear about them much anymore. What are they doing these days?
Surviving. The International UFO Report, a new issue, just has come out this week. It has a piece that I wrote in remembrance of Bud Hopkins and other material. You see some of the best research published in International UFO Reporter, or IUR as we call it. You see solid articles, historical articles, investigative articles, speculative writing. There's a real good writing and intellectual discipline in IUR. I think it's the best of the surviving UFO magazines. Of course, the internet has changed everything. So there's a Center for UFO Studies website, of course, where you can go and get some sense of what the center is doing, what its resources are. I wrote much of the UFO encyclopedia out of the center archives, which are voluminous, including Blue Book, NICAP, all kinds of forgotten UFO organizations that collected materials in the 50s and 60s, Condon material, enormous resource. But, you know, it's surviving on, you know, a shoestring, just like all surviving UFO organizations.
Well, you know, I think we'd like to have the Center for UFO Studies come on the Paracast. I think we can have a fascinating discussion with some of those people. And maybe we could work it out with you and the people there to expose their work to a wider audience, because we don't hear from them much anymore. And that's why I asked you the question. I said, you know, what are they doing?
Well, as I said, you know, Mark Rodiger is the scientific director. He lives in Chicago. And, you know, you'd have to ask him. But, you know, Mark's a very smart guy. He has a PhD in sociology and worked with Dr. Hynek, and that's how I met him.
Sure thing.
Mark has done a good job.
We have Jerome Clark, UFO historian. You're listening to Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com.
Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Question: when the next disaster strikes, will you be ready? Answer: yes. If you have top quality survival gear from the survivalzone.com, these days it's wise to keep a survival kit in your vehicle, home, and office. The survivalzone.com specializes in ready-to-go wilderness, 72-hour, and compact survival kits, plus freeze-dried and dehydrated food, MREs, stun guns, non-hybrid seeds, and much more. Call 603-838-5933 to be prepared with the survivalzone.com.
Steve Shank here with a special alert from eFoods Direct. The stock market continues to crash and recrash daily. Since July, the market has dropped 15% with no signs of recovery. What does that mean to you? When stocks crash, jobs are lost, and you can't buy the food that's already too expensive and continues to raise in cost. eFoods just got notice that wholesale costs on pasta, rice, and beans will immediately jump 20%. The already high cost of sugar is tripling. If you invest in the stock market for security or save money in the bank, you continue to see the dollar drop in value while your weekly food bills increase. So what are you going to do? Get as much food now as you can. With these problems you're facing, eFoods Direct has no choice but to extend the free shipping another week to October 9th. Free shipping buys more food with shipping dollars. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
So we find that Chris O'Brien ought to have a lavalier microphone when he communicates with Skype, so he can walk around the room. He's not stuck in one place. Maybe get you kind of a portable Bluetooth headset, Chris, okay?
There you go.
Okay. We'll have to look at that. Have one of our members donate one. We're talking to Jerome Clark, UFO historian. We're asking the questions you asked of Jerry when we announced that his appearance would be on this week's show. Let's go back to the questions, Chris.
Well, Digital Trickster has one more, and this is going to be, I'm not sure if there's really an answer for this, but what is your favorite case to date?
I think the single most evidential case, and it's really very complicated to explain, and I'm not sure I have it sorted out in my head, but it's the subject of a long 40-page entry in the second edition of the UFO Encyclopedia written by Brad Sparks, who's a California-based aeronautical engineer with a long time interest in UFOs. And the RB-47 case is an incredible case involving a tracking of a UFO over several states via different radar sets, ground-based radar on the RB-47 itself, and a case that lasted over a period of, you know, this off the top of my head, like a couple of hours. And it's a case that the Condon Committee investigated, James McDonald investigated, and Brad Sparks investigated. And it's been meticulously reconstructed. And it's not only a case that is impossible to explain conventionally, but it is clear and unambiguous evidence of the presence of an unearthly, sophisticated, other-than-earthly technology. That it's an interaction between Earth, American military technology, and somebody else's technology that does not exist on this Earth. So in other words, it's evidence not only of it's compelling evidence of the existence of UFOs, but it's also strongly suggestive of the presence of an extraterrestrial technology. So it documents not only the reality of UFOs as technological vehicles, but also establishes that they're not from here. And it really undercuts, you know, people who want to explain everything. Explain is the apropos verb here, as paranormal or supernatural. I mean, this is a case of what looks very much like a sophisticated technological vehicle from another world. And it's an extraordinary case. And it is the best case. It's not the strangest case. It's not the wildest case. But it is really a compelling case. And it's one that debunkers stay as far away from as they can. Phil Klass, to his credit, did try to explain it. But his explanation didn't work for reasons that Sparks explains in his paper published in the Encyclopedia. But yeah, that's the great case. And there probably would be others out there if the resources and the trained investigators were turned on. But that one, the RB-47 case, we do have.
Now, well, that's one I've got to refamiliarize myself with. That does sound very compelling. And boy, I bet you it really put some starch in the shorts of the Army Air Force at the time. And probably made quite a few military people sit up and take notice, I would imagine.
Yeah, the initial investigation was by Blue Book, which conducted a rather cursory investigation, and I don't even remember what kind of explanation they pulled out of their nether quarters. But the Condon Committee came back at it, and the Condon Committee had a very good investigator on it, Gordon David Thayer. And then McDonnell investigated it and talked with all the military personnel. And then finally Sparks did the final investigation. But very well investigated.
Speaking of the Condon Report, that dovetails nicely into our next set of questions. This one comes from Sentry, who is a fairly recent forum poster, signed up in March of this year. And he asked, his first question is, the Condon Report claimed, quote, nothing has come from the study of UFOs in the past 21 years that has added to scientific knowledge, close quotes. If you disagree with that, can you cite any examples of advances, scientific or otherwise, related to UFO research?
Well, that's a good question. And the Condon Committee, of course, notoriously, that particular claim, which is often quoted, is undercut by material within the Condon Committee report itself, where, you know, close to a third of the sightings are unexplained, and even some of the explanations for the explained ones have been challenged. Now, the scientific advancement that UFO research has made, it gets back to something I said earlier. We don't know what these things are. You know, we can speculate reasonably or unreasonably about what they might be, but we don't know that. So in that sense, no, we haven't advanced. But we have advanced to the extent that we pretty much have a pretty good idea how they behave, what they do and what they don't do. And we see, for example, the consistent failure to land on the White House lawn, their persistent kind of way of staying in the background of things. The way we see, for example, that close encounters are more likely to occur in rural locations in late at night or in the early morning hours. Things like this, we detect these kinds of patterns associated with it. And, even with close encounters with occupants, you know, we see that overwhelmingly the occupants are human or humanoid looking. You know, not getting reports of elephants or giant squids coming out of UFOs or anything like that. We're seeing this consistent pattern. And these patterns survive over time and space. So simply by, collecting data, trying to investigate what reports we can, we get sort of what Mallet once called an anatomy of a phenomenon. We see what it looks like, how it behaves, what it does, what it doesn't do. And so in that sense, we have a better grip on it than we did in 1947. And over time, our understanding of how it acts is something that we've learned. So it hasn't been entirely futile. We're still dealing with a phenomenon that is beyond human current knowledge and is difficult to document in the way that we document, other things that we're more familiar with. But we do see what it's like anyway. We have learned that much, and that's the first step.
Well, that's good. In 50-plus years, at least we can hang our hats on that. And I do agree that there are patterns to be gleaned from a lot of these the databases that are out there. I know I felt that I was able to identify a few in my own database. So I think it's that the analysis of these events in their totality and how they dovetail one to the other, I think there is something to be gained from that.
Well, so, a second really crucial point needs to be made, and that is that science has devoted practically no attention, no resources, no funding to the investigation of this phenomenon. It's possible that if real science were done on the UFO question, we have a lot more answers than we have now. It may be that this thing isn't as unexplainable or as inexplicable as it appears to be. It's just that science hasn't done science. And if science were done, we'd learn a lot more, probably a lot more quickly than we learned over
the past. Point. A point well taken. Well, here's Century's third question, and this is a good one as well. Eyewitness testimony is imperfect and subject to distortion by post-event influences. In UFO cases, what effect does the bias of the initial interviewer have on how the event is remembered and subsequently reported?
I don't think that's probably the major problem with UFOs reporting. You know, first of all, the number of cases that investigators get their hand on is pretty small. And I have examined UFO testimony in just about every form that it can be delivered. For example, through somebody telling me something that he saw or experienced, or reading letters in archives, letters sent to magazines, UFO groups, authors, people telling their UFO experiences, unfiltered, just sitting down writing a letter and say, this is what I saw. And then I've seen cases where, you know, ufologists went out in the field and interviewed somebody and tried to figure out what the person saw. And basically, look at all this, and it's the same thing.
We have Jerry Clark with Gene and Chris. You're in
Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy at 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.